Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now let's continue our roundup of our discussions on creating the opportunity for prosperity. The last time I ended by talking about, we read from Psalm 126, where it says, "Restore our fortunes or restore our captivity, O God, as streams renew the desert." And God says, yes, I've heard that prayer. What you need to do now is to sow in tears. That is, what it means to sow in tears is that you may not have much, okay? Although last time I emphasized on those, like the rich fool that earned plenty and they did not understand the meaning of the word, being rich toward God. But I said, I want to emphasize again that sometimes you may not even have so much materially, but then it's still important that we sow material seeds. So God says that if you have, it's when you sow in tears that you're able to reap with joy. What it means to sow in tears is to put your money in at risk, when there's a risk of losing it. For example, he said, our place is as dry as the desert. And God says, sow in that land. When Isaac sowed in that land, the land was as dry as the desert. When he was cultivating, the land was hard, okay? But he had faith in God that God will bless him. And the Bible said that the same year he reaped 100-fold. So that's what he meant when he said, he that will sow in tears. He sows in tears because it's difficult to cultivate. He sows in tears because his seed that he has is precious to him. All right, and he said that that's very important for God to help us bring forth prosperity in our environment. If I remember the story of T.D. Jakes, many of us may know the person T.D. Jakes. Once he was rated as the best preacher in America. Of course, don't be carried away by such sentiments. Best preacher in America doesn't really mean anything. Is that okay? But just to tell you how famous the man is, okay? T.D. Jakes was a man who has pastored for many, many years. And then one day, let me tell you something again. What will make you blessed in life is when you want to help people. What will increase you is your desire, all right, to be a blessing. That's why we emphasized on the issue of desiring the good of that land, seeking the good of the land. It's not just about wanting. The Bible said that he that always wants, now I'm paraphrasing, he said he tends to poverty. And I'll give two scriptures for that. He said the man with an evil eye runs after money but does not know that poverty will come upon him. And he said there is he that scattereth and yet increases, but there is he that withholds more than is necessary, but he tends only towards poverty. The man that's always looking for money for himself will become poor in life. Another instruction from God I'm giving you. As a matter of fact, it might look like he's making money now, but wait now. Life will quickly run over, you will see. In another few years, you will use the man as a story to tell to your children on how not to live life. Why am I talking about that? What made T.D. Jakes very great? Simple. He said he noticed, he was counseling a lot of women, and he noticed that what will happen is that the same counsel he will give to Mary, he will give to Sally. The same counsel he will give to Sally, he will give to different women, same problem. So now I say, why waste all this time counseling them? So let me organize a program. And he called it Woman Thou Art Loose, and began to teach them on the common things that are the problems of women. All right? Just a few women, he thought a few women would just come. Just tell your friends, I'm solving all these problems at the same time. Now, this is the point. The few women that came told more women. Before he knew what was happening, all the women were coming. All right? He said he did four sessions on it and had four tips. So he told one of his friends, man, see what is going on here. I'm just trying to solve some problems for people and everybody's going crazy over it. So the friend said, okay, please send me the tips. Let me listen. When the friend heard the series, he told him, please come and preach the same thing in my church. When he went there, everybody went crazy again. Cut a long story short. That's how he realized that this message is preaching. Is really blessing people. And then some people came to him one day and said, let me just summarize it so as to make the story very short. They came to him one day and said, let's put all these things you are saying into a book. By the time he sat down and worked on the book, they backed out that they were not interested anymore. Okay? And that what he should do is to pay for printing. And to print 5,000 copies was going to cost him $15,000. He checked all the money he had when he put everything that was material issues together. He came to $15,000 and he said, sorry, I'm not doing that. I cannot put all my life at risk. You said we should print a book. Did I ever tell you I wanted to print a book? You understand what I'm saying? But he said, but as he turned to move away, the Spirit of God said in his heart, invest in yourself. I've said it again, the words of Jesus. Let me repeat it. He that loves his life will lose it. Is the one that's willing to lose his life for the sake of Christ that will gain it. Listen, he said, the Spirit of God said to him, invest in yourself. So he took the money and invested. If he lost it, he had lost all the money he had. And please, that's not Nigeria. We're talking about America. A lot of us think that things are easier there. America is a place where you can't afford to lose your savings. America, in Nigeria, if you lose your money and you don't pay your rent, your landlord will understand. You can talk for a few months. In America, the first month you don't pay, you are out the next month. They don't understand people who don't pay their rent. It doesn't cross their mind. If you don't pay NEPA, if you don't pay the utility people, they don't even discuss with you. They just cut you off. And may not be during winter. You know, we don't understand. You know, some people think that life is so easy in America. Please go there. May you not suffer the bad side of it. Do you get the point I make? No, it's a matter of fact, because that is a place. A friend of mine and I were talking the other day. I had to help him with some issues, you know, because he needed to get some paperwork done so that he can move into the next phase of employment. He said, Banky, you understand. He said, this is a country where you can't do but work. Now, get the point. So that's what I'm talking about. When you say America is not a country, you just say you don't lose your savings anyhow. It's a great risk to your life to lose your savings. So TDJ's understood when he says that, he didn't want to release the money. It was hard. But God told him simply, invest in yourself. He that sows in tears shall reap with joy. Cut a long story short, he sold 5,000 books in 2 weeks. 2 weeks after the books were released, 5,000 copies were sold. Right now, the last 4 books I'm aware of, or 5 books that he has released, have always been bestsellers. New York Times bestsellers. Every time he writes a book, if he sneezes on paper, he's a New York Times bestseller. No, may God bless you in life. There are people who get to levels. Anything they do, all right, is a bestseller. If people like him are broke today, say, I need money, they'll just gather paper together and just write the thoughts of T.D. Jakes. They will print it. They are sure of $1 million. No, he's sure of $1 million. But this is the point I want you to understand, that what happened to him was God made a demand of him, invest in yourself, and he did. In his own case, it paid off within 2 weeks, and it continued to pay off. Now, it doesn't always pay off like that, all right? That's immediately. But eventually, God will always give back to you. That is, the person who will not fear loss, all right, is the one who will be able to produce results for God on the earth, not only for himself, but the society that's around him. Now, that's what we've been talking about. That's what we said in Psalm 126. He said, restore our captivity. God said, I can't do anything until you are willing to sow in tears. And then you will discover that you will reap with joy. I just discovered that last time. Now, what I want to end with today is to look again at the matter of diligence. Let me read the Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27 from the Good News Bible. It says, if you are lazy, you will never get what you are after. But if you work hard, you will get a fortune. New American Standard says, which is one I use mostly, he says, a slothful man does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence. That is the most important thing, or one of the most important things that a man has to call his own, is his ability to work hard. Please, I have put this one last amongst the things that we are discussing. One of the reasons is for us to understand that it is less important than our faith. It is less important than anything that is inside our heart. That diligence only makes sense when we have settled the serious principles of the heart. Remember that one of the things we discussed then was to get the correct definitions concerning the things of God. That when we say a job, what do we mean by a job? That's how we form correct things inside our heart. God has his definition for prosperity. What do we mean when we use the word prosperity? Are we talking like the rich fool? That is, let me have enough money so I will say, so rest. You have much good laid up for tomorrow. Enjoy yourself. Show everybody you have money. Drive down home for Christmas in the biggest jeep that you've ever seen in the village. God says, if that's what you call prosperity, then you're about to fail thoroughly. Do you get my point? Now, that is, what's inside our heart is first to align our hearts with what God is saying. Now, after we have done all of that, that is when diligence begins to pay off. Then diligence, please get the point, is important. The Bible says, there's another scripture I want us to quickly read. The book of Proverbs again, chapter 14, this time around, verse 23. He said, in all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. In all labor there is what? Profit. He said, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Please, get the point here, that we have said so many things about conceiving. The Bible says something, if you read Mark chapter 4, he said, the kingdom of God is like the seed that a man plants. He said, then he goes to sleep. He said, but the earth by itself produces fruit. He said, first the blade, the ear, then the full grain in the air. He said, but when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Or when the crop is fully ready. Now, what I want you to understand is the issue of the man puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. That is, when harvest time comes, you still have to get up and do something. Do you get my point? So that God will be able to pour that fruit into your life. God does not expect that you just sit at home and money will fall from heaven. I like one song that we used to hear those days on TV. It said that money no they fall from heaven. You understand my point? That do better thing, money go come. Now, you know, a friend of mine, first time he heard that thing, he said that that is sense knowledge. That is, God actually sends money from heaven. I knew what he was saying. What he was saying is that we need grace. It's not just doing something that is good. But what I want to bring out is a balance of the two. Once we have grace, we must do something for God to pour favor, all right, to pour the fruit into our lives. One of the things I've come to understand in life is that God does not like idleness. An idle man with God is a very useless man. Get the point I'm trying to make. There's something I've noticed over time, and that was talking about this matter of diligence. Sometimes people fail in something. I mentioned something earlier, that everybody has a grace. Are you getting my point? I like one thing my friend Larry said once. He said that everybody has a gift, but that gift is not a skill. He says, after you have sharpened your gift, you have trained yourself in your gift, that you become skillful in your gift. All right? This is the way I say it. I say that once you have exercised your gift accordingly, like Paul said in Romans chapter 12, then you become skillful in your gift. And he said, do you see a man who is diligent and skillful? Amplifier uses the two expressions. In his work, he will stand before kings. He will not stand before ordinary men. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, let me say what I'm trying to say. I like to use myself as an example because I know myself very, very well. All right? I may read about other people or hear their stories, but I know myself very well. I know my story properly. Do you understand? Now, for a long time, I love to preach. I knew I was going to be a preacher. And I remember those days when I was doing my postgraduate in Luth, in Lagos, that one of my friends, in fact, I didn't even realize it then, one of my past friends, he has a pastor that used to come look for him once in a while in our office. And because the department where he was a clinical department, as residents, they really didn't have their own offices. You know, they moved from one ward to the other. But I was in a laboratory-based department, so we had resident offices. So usually he would leave a message for his pastor in my office. And when his pastor is coming to look for him in the hospital, he always came to my office. So that when he gets there, I will not tell him whether there's a message for him, or I will try and locate the young man wherever he is and tell him, look, your pastor is looking for you here. All right? Now, several times the man will come, and he will open the door, and he will find me on my table. Then one day he came into the office, and he just looked. I said, as soon as he opened it, he knocked, I said, come in. He opened the door. I remember the first thing he said. He said, this man, you are always studying. Do you know, I didn't realize it then that I was always studying. It was when a man of God came in and said, this man, you are always studying, that I realized that I was always studying. Now, he's a preacher. So when he says studying, it didn't mean I was reading my pathology textbooks. It did not mean I was reading my medical textbooks. But anytime he would come in, he would discover that I'm probably reading The Spiritual Man by Watchman Nee. Do you get my point? Or a book like Experiencing God's Power by Derek Prince. Talking about Excellence in Life and Ministry by Bishop David Oyedepo. You know, different books. So every time he will come in, he will discover that this man is always reading. Do you understand? So that they didn't even ask him. He said, this man, you are always studying. Then that's when it struck me, actually, that I was always studying. Now, get the point I'm making here. I tell my wife sometimes that a lot of the things that I preach today, I studied it then. Because then God ensured that I had the time to study. Occasionally, I will get so pressured in my heart if I have not studied a new book or listened to a new message in the last few weeks, that I would just get up and walk to a bookshop and just go and look for something I have not read before. Do you get the point I'm making? So that I can start reading. One of the problems we have as people is that, and I want to explain this, don't forget something I said earlier. It said that the man with an evil eye runs after wealth, but does not understand that poverty will come upon him. Do you get the point? What I'm going to bring out from there is this. Most of the things we want to do, we want to study how to make money from them. And I'm explaining again, prosperity does not mean making money, but issuing forth blessing into people's lives. Do you get the point I'm going to make? That is why a lot of people are not diligent. The admonition to be diligent is necessary because the reward is not always immediate. If every time you went to your office and spent 1 hour, you made 100,000 naira. You know, you don't need anybody to beg you to go to the office. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to say. Because the attraction for the amount of money you will get each time you sit down, it will draw you by itself to that office. But why do we need to admonish people to be diligent? Why did Solomon say to the sluggard, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise? Why does he need to say that? Because he said that you will discover that the ant prepares her food in the summer. That is, when she doesn't have need for it, the ant could have just come out and eaten at will in that summer period, when it can still move around. But that it prepares for the time of tomorrow, meaning that the labor the ant is putting in right now is not for today, but for another time. That's why he had to emphasize to the sluggard, go to the ant and go and learn a lesson. People, a lot of times, the skill, remember we've talked about skill. We've talked about investing not only in your skill, but in other people's skills. Do you get the point? Investing in other people's, helping other people to develop, creating the opportunity for prosperity for other people. But I want to say something about your own skill now. Because the problem we have, like I said, is that it does not always yield material, money back to us quickly. And I'm trying to get children of God to understand that that must never be your focus. I like when somebody was analyzing the playing skills of Tiger Woods. He said, Tiger Woods does not play for money. That is golf. That he's a professional. Yes. People think that professionals, he was explaining, that professionals play for money. He said it's not true. That professionals play for love. That they love the game. That's why they are professionals. Do you get the point I'm making? And that Tiger Woods does not play golf because he wants to make money from golf playing. That he plays golf because he wants to be perfect in the playing of golf. Are you getting the point? That is what the man wants to do. I was watching his news recently. He had won the last 5 Masters that he went for. Are you getting my point? And somebody analyzed that he's already practicing the shots he will use to win the next one. It's not about money. He has plenty of money. But that for him, I must know golf. I must be perfect in golf. I was reading a small booklet of one of his accomplishments as a young professional player. That he did something, I don't know how to analyze because I'm not very good with golf, but the man did something nobody else had ever done before. That he had a choice of two. Either go the normal way everybody would do it, take it easy, break the play, or just go once. And if he misses it, he will lose it all. He said the man decides to go once. And he got it, and he got it all. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? That is, the man practices to get to a point where everybody needs 2 shots to make it, he makes it in 1 shot. Do you follow the point I'm making? That is, he kept on, since he was a child, he's been playing to perfect his playing of golf, not primarily for money. Along the line, he became one of the richest golf players in the world. That is very correct. But did he start trying to make money from golf? No. He started trying to perfect the playing of golf. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So what happens to most people? They start out something. They are gifted in something. They need time to sharpen the skill in that thing. But no, they don't do that because, you see, if they abandon that and going to go get a job somewhere, the job pays very well. I tell people, listen, that in life, if you want to be outstanding, you can only be outstanding in the place where you are gifted. No matter how hard you try. Now, listen, if you're a white man, you can't dance like a black man. It's not in your spirit. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So if you want to be outstanding as a dancer, if you are white, just forget it. Do you understand? Until you discover the rhythm in your soul. The white man doesn't have it. That is why the best dancers in the world are always black. Now, I'm bringing out something here. So I like what Mike Murdock said. When you leave the position of your strength, you move towards your weaknesses. Is that okay? Now, if you want to be outstanding, you must sit in the position of your strength. That's the only way you'll be outstanding. There was a statement one of my friends told me that Pablo Picasso mentioned. For those of us who know, Pablo Picasso is one of the most renowned artists, all right, that have lived in this world. I think he died in the 70s or something. I don't know. Anyway, he lived not too long ago. Anyway, Pablo Picasso. I heard the man was a bit of a cocky person, but he made a statement which is so true. He said, Pablo Picasso said something that my mother said to me, if you become a soldier, one day you'll become a general. That if you choose to be a priest, maybe one day you'll become a pope. He said, I chose to become an artist, and I became Picasso. Now, do you understand the point? Now, his name is Pablo Picasso. But he said, Pablo Picasso chose to become an artist, and he became Picasso. Because once you say Picasso, I don't know how many Picassos exist in Italy. But the fact is that when you say Picasso, we only think of one person. There are many people who bear the name Graham in this world. But if I tell you Graham without qualifying it, you know I'm talking about Billy Graham. If you were to write a letter and you address it, Billy Graham, United States, he will get it. There are over 260 million people living in the United States. But if you write Billy Graham, USA, he will get it. Because there is only one Billy Graham. You are getting the point I'm trying to make. Or right now you write T.D. Jakes,
Whether the T you wanted to write, instead of Thomas, you were going to write Timothy. Nobody knows. But once you write T.D. Jakes, the letter goes to only one person. It goes to Dallas, Texas. It will go to the house of T.D. Jakes because the name has become an entity. Do you get my point? And that was what Picasso was saying. He said, instead of becoming a priest or a soldier, I chose to stay where I had the gift and I had the passion, I had the drive. And over time, I became Picasso. Now, what am I trying to explain? That diligence and that patience, because that's very important. There are no quick results here. No, you know, there are no nothing. What do you call overnight success? Is because you started noticing the man last night. And do you, please, are you getting what I'm saying? If you say a man is an overnight success, it's because you noticed him for the first time last night. Actually, he has been there for much longer than you ever imagined. Are you getting what I'm making? I remember once I was in my mechanic shop and we're discussing NAFDAC. He said NAFDAC was created just like 2 years before that. I said, no, oh boy, that was when Dora Okoyile took over NAFDAC. It was not when NAFDAC was created. I said, NAFDAC was created under Babangida. So forget it. That you only knew NAFDAC. When we talk about overnight success, that's the way it is. You think, this man became an overnight success. What do you call overnight success? Because you noticed him for the first time last night. The reality is that the man has been there for a very long time. Are you getting the point I'm making? A lot of young people, they want, you know, that's one thing I wish people would just tell the stories completely. You know, you see a man, he's so successful in what he's trying to, what he's doing. Nobody reminds you that the guy is about 40. Nobody reminds you that at the age of 22 that you are right now, the guy was also struggling the way you are struggling, except that his struggle was on one thing. You are struggling left, right, and center. You don't even know what you want to do. Do you get the point I'm making? You hear tomorrow that, those who make pure water make a lot of money. So you've started discussing with your uncle on investing in pure water. Just as you're about to get the factory ready, they say, no, it's not pure water anymore. It's cyber cafes. So it's a pricing computer. Do you get what I'm saying? No, your own is that you must make money now. Anything that makes money. You have never settled down on that thing you really want to do. Last time when I went to GTI and Cosmo FM program to go and speak on the spiritual foundation on creation of wealth, a man asked me simply, he said, if you know how to speak, how do you do it so that people will want to hear you speak? I said to him simply, number one, you are the only one that thinks you know how to speak. The only way you will know people think you know how to speak is when they start asking you. I said, the only thing you can do is make sure you have something to say. Now, do you get what I'm going to say? That was the answer I gave him. I said, look, this is the only thing you can do. You are not going to get up and start begging people, please let me come and speak for you. Make sure that every time you open your mouth, wisdom flows forth. Do you get my point? Make sure that you are full of knowledge, you are full of information. Just to use that one to develop my point. So if you say, okay, you like to be a speaker, you like to encourage people with words, you like to teach people. Listen, you must have something to teach. Let me tell you something. The day you were born, God put the teaching gift inside you. You know that. But God didn't give you what to teach. No, that's the way it works. As you are being born, God made your mouth bigger than everybody else's own. He made the part of your brain, you know, controlling the mouth to be larger than everybody else's own. It's true. But never put what you will say in your mouth. You now have to go and settle down and learn. It's only when you have learned that you can begin to teach other people. Do you get my point? So the diligence, therefore, for the teacher is not go and practice how to speak. I was reading a book the other day, and they were describing how to make a public speech, how to stand, how to position yourself, how to arrange your tie, how to arrange your suit. Anytime I read such things, they actually irritate me. I have been speaking for a long time. I don't think I ever plan exactly how to make an impression on people when I want to talk. The problem I have most times, I have too many things to say, self. That if they give me 30, no, really. That's the problem I have a lot of times. Are you getting the point I'm making? I mean, I remember once I was a postgraduate doctor then in Luz, doing my residency training. I was supposed to take a particular subject. By the time I finished, I remember that day, I prepared for it very well. And I came and I just taught normally, explained points very well. And one of my chiefs there, by the time she got up, she was supervising the discussion, got up to leave, put all her correction and everything, and said, before I go, I must remark, you're a very, very good teacher. Now, what's the point? I marshaled out. I had points to speak. It wasn't the good words I used. Do you get the point I'm making? On that same subject later, two ladies came to me. Say, somebody said we should go and meet you. That if we want to understand this thing well, you are the one to see. They were my seniors. They wanted to take. They took an exam. It was not very well, good. Somebody said, look, that subject was what failed you. You want somebody to now? It was. Listen, it's a gift that I have to explain things to people. But I had to first know what I was supposed to explain. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make. You want to create prosperity, Diligence is important. It's very, very, very important. I tell people that, look, anything you want to be outstanding in, you must have time to dedicate to preparing to do that thing. You know, like I said earlier, I like to use myself as an example because I know myself very well. I remember then, shortly after I finished youth service, when I would be on holiday, then I used to go and spend my time in a church where I worked as a house officer, all right, when I was doing my internship. So I would spend time there. And there was a day, some preachers came. They came to prepare for a major crusade that was going to occur in the town. So we'll move around together, and I used to move around with them. We'll talk. And then one thing struck me, and I get my point. At this particular point in time, I was a postgraduate doctor, a resident doctor, who I just used to take my holiday to come and work in this church when I'm on leave annually. Now, I was talking with people who did nothing but the work of the ministry. I will sit down, we'll be chatting, and I will mention about Amy Simple, Macpherson. They will look like, who is that? Ah. So where do you think Foursquare came out from? You think it dropped from the sky? You know, and these are supposed to be professional preachers. Young preachers working in ministry. Then I'll talk, we'll be discussing along the line, I'll mention the names of great prophets of the past, people like William Marion Branham. They said like, did you say Graham? I said, no, I said Branham. Okay. Then you tell them stories, and they'll put their hands on their head, like, what? This really happened? Then I look at the men at the point in time. Are you serious? This is the job you want to do? No, because here I am, studying medicine almost full time. I'm doing this thing, partner. You do nothing else but this thing, and I'm the one telling you all the stories of things that happen in the field you claim to be working in. You're following a particular man of God, and you think that one day you are going to be like him. Being as empty-headed as you are, you can have the anointing, but you have nothing to say when they give you the microphone. Please, I hope what I'm saying is making sense. That's the issue about life. Diligence. Do you get my point? Sometimes, I read papers. They'll say there's a child, he's a genius. What did he do? You know, and I laugh when the journalists do that to us. That the boy made an electric fan. I say, he made an electric fan. And that is why you are making noise. I said, which one of us doing physics in secondary school did not make one thing or the other? He said, look, we should encourage such people so that they will develop the Nigerian car. I said, Nigerians, we should stop trying to reinvent the wheel. If you want to make a car, go to Germany and go to Japan. They will teach you how to make a car. I don't need a genius fabricating a car out of mud for me or out of wood. Do you get what I'm saying? What am I trying to explain? That people actually talk a lot of time out of ignorance. You're in a particular field. You have not gone to find out the things that other people have done before you. You think if Albert Einstein spent all his time trying to develop differential calculus, he would have gotten anywhere. No. All he needed to do was read what the likes of Isaac Newton did. And he got off from where they were and went farther beyond them. That is why it's still a problem to decide who's the greatest physicist. Is this Isaac Newton or Albert Einstein? Because what Isaac Newton did, Albert Einstein didn't do it. Because one man started from almost zero and went far. Then one man went from how far that man was and went even farther. Different generations going further because with the latter generation built upon the foundation of the former one. But you see people these days, want to go into automotive engineering. You are designing tire. What is your problem with designing tire? They have designed enough tire in the world. Do you understand my point? That's not what you need. You go to where they are already, know everything that they already know. That's what you can build upon. Not sitting amongst ignorant people. They now publish in the newspaper that this boy is so intelligent. He's only 18 and he has already built an electric fan. And they look at you. When we were 13, we built electric bell. All we needed to do was collect Nelcon and Abbott. Follow the circuit. They were all drawn in the books, were they not? What am I trying to say? Diligence is about developing that thing. You focus. It doesn't always make money for you quickly. A man starts painting today. They say, my painting is 50,000 naira. He says, okay, good. Go and sell it to those who appreciate it. Do you get what I'm saying? Instead of you to sit down and develop that thing that you really can do before you start putting a price tag on everything. Please, I hope you've learned something from all the things that we have said on this issue of creating the opportunity for prosperity. Please, let me just end with one thing. Listen, you are not in a hopeless state. God has just given you a responsibility to go out to be a blessing to somebody else, then he will be a blessing to you in return. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into your bosom. He said, with the same measure that you give, with that same measure, it will be returned back unto you. You want to prosper in life? Get up and be a blessing. Give a blessing out to your society. Give a blessing out to other people. Try and create jobs for people and you will discover in life. And one day, Forbes will publish his magazine again. The top 500 richest men in the world. You find your name hanging somewhere between number 1 and number 10. It is not because you tried. It's because in your own season, you just did what God required of you. Do you get my point?
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.